Hey, what's happening? We're starting out laughing. That's good.
I guess so.
For a sort of comedy podcast, we should be laughing early and often.
Is this a comedy podcast? What do we call it in comedy?
I mean, I don't think that's fair for us to say. That's probably that's up true, to the I listeners. Guess.
Yeah.
Because we laugh at each other or ourselves all the time, whether it's funny or not. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Hey, it's the Uprooted Podcast. That's Christine.
And that's John.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. We made it.
We made it. Unbelievable. I didn't think we were going to make it.
I didn't
Certain
either.
Certain times this year, I wasn't sure.
And then they were going to call it off.
I mean, they sort of did, depending on where you live, right? You can't have any friends over. You got to do Thanksgiving via Zoom and all that other stuff.
Right.
I mean, speaking of that, I saw something on the news today about, well, not on the news, on Facebook where I get my news. About stupid Bill Gates commenting on the vaccines.
I don't think we can call him stupid. I'm not sure that that's true. Fair.
This is true. But Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, I shouldn't have to tell anyone that. But he's commenting on the vaccine and he says that he believes all of them will work by February because there's something like, there's three right now that we know of that are have good efficacy and then there's supposed to be two more maybe. But anyway, he says that they'll all work by February and all will be great and we'll achieve herd immunity at some point. But until February, it's going to be really bad. Just we're not out of the woods, probably 2,000 deaths per day. And so when I read this, I'm like, dude, when did you become a doctor? Like you have a foundation with your wife for medical research, but now you're commenting on whether we'll be safe or not. I thought you were like the Microsoft guy. What's going on here? I don't get it.
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
I don't know when Bill Gates became an authority on medicine and now he's commenting and telling everybody to be scared and worried. And all the conspiracy out there is that he's going to inject microchips into you and he's got funding involved and going to get some kickbacks from these things. I don't know, man.
And it's weird.
Apparently he's a medical guy, though.
I guess so.
I did a little research so I didn't sound like an idiot calling him out. And apparently he went to Harvard for medical school and then dropped out to start Microsoft. So I guess he does know kind of a little bit about medicine, like 2 years old.
Apparently.
And he's got an honorary medical and legal degrees, but we all know how those go.
Well, that's pretty crazy though.
Well, yeah, but they'll give an honorary degree to Shaquille O'Neal. You know what I mean? I don't think you necessarily have to know anything about medicine or law to get the honorary degree.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Hey, interesting.
Did you have a question for us?
I do.
I always skip over that. I'm sorry.
You do. And you know what else you skip over?
What?
Our drink.
Oh, yes. What are we drinking?
We are having a Thanksgiving margarita. Because thank God for margaritas.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mexico.
I am
Mexico.
Thankful for margaritas.
Or whoever. Who invented margaritas? Do we know?
Yeah, Mexico.
Thank you, Mexico, for guacamole, tacos, and margaritas. Amazing.
I would think so.
My three favorite things besides you.
Besides me.
Also created in Mexico.
I was not created in Mexico.
Well, I mean, more or less, right?
No, not more or less. Like,
without
not at all.
Mexico, there would be no Mexicans, and therefore you would not have your Mexicans. You would. I don't know. Anyway, I'm thankful for you being Mexican.
Okay. And,
or I mean, thankful for Mexico because of you. Anyway, whatever. Move
that
on.
Took
what's
a
the,
turn.
What's the question? Yes, it did. Very dark turn.
So I was thinking about the bucket list situation because of last week, right?
Yes.
And then I thought, what?
Nothing. It's the bucket list situation. That's like a good band, I think.
I don't know. Is it all terminal people?
Yeah, a bunch of old dudes about to die and they're singing about
well, it doesn't have to be
days
old
of your...
dudes. It can be...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess
people
you can die at any age, right?
You can. Anyway, so I was thinking about, we had the bucket list last week. So what's your anti-bucket list? What's the thing you would never do again?
Well, unfortunately, my answer I may not have a choice in.
Okay.
I would like to never have my knee drained ever again. I've had it done twice and it's fucking miserable. Seriously, like
that sounds pretty miserable.
I have a fear of needles, but it's more than just the huge straw-like needle that goes into your body. They have to like move it around and suck up all
okay.
the fluid, and it touches your bone.
Oh God!
At one point, they go, "We got to go in a little deeper," and you feel every bit of that, even though they numb you beforehand. Mm. It sucks. The problem is that it's instant relief when they're done. If you've got like bursitis or whatever's going on, arthritis, like I had in your knee, is as big as a grapefruit. Instant relief, because while the straw is in your knee, they put cortisone in and you walk out of there like a new man.
Yeah.
Or woman. And so it's great. But I mean, the process is fucking miserable. So I'd like to never do that again.
Okay. So knee draining is on your anti-bucket list.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. I think mine is never having to give birth naturally ever again. Like, ever.
Is there a story? I mean, some people do that on purpose. You did not.
I did not do it on purpose. It was on absolute accident. We were having our daughter. So with our son, I was induced and the pain was awful. So I asked for the epidural pretty quickly.
You
know,
real quick, add that to my anti-bucket list is watching you get an epidural.
Watching me get an epidural.
Almost made me fall to my knees. It awesome. Was pretty...
Yeah, it kind of collapsed me as well.
Yeah, not good.
But anyway, so it was great with our son. I wasn't tired. Everything was fine. So with our daughter, I was like, cool, I'll totally have one. Not a big deal. They come into the room to give me my epidural. They make you kind of like, if you don't know this, if you've never had a child or you're a guy or whatever.
Yeah.
They make you sit on the end of the bed. And like
guys get epidurals too, you know.
Dangle.
For like severe back pain and stuff.
I included but anyway. Or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Anyway, they make you dangle your feet over the edge of the bed and kind of like sit forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that they can violate access your spine.
Yeah, so they can violate your spine with the world's biggest needle.
Yeah, so... I'm doing that and I'm sitting forward and they put the epidural in and they go to lay me back and I feel just strangeness. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So I told you, can you go get the nurse? Because something doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So the nurse comes in immediately. She says, oh my goodness, you're ready to push. Out goes the epidural. All the pushing, completely natural.
Yeah, and me being inherently cheap, I'm in there like, hey, yo, do we still have to pay for that epidural? Because we're not using it now.
I think we did, actually.
I think we did, too, and that's bullshit. But
I hear you.
Because you went through all the pain, and it was pretty rough.
All the pain.
That was a funny situation we've never really talked about. I'm looking out the window because there's no doctor.
Our doctor wasn't there.
Because all of this was quite unexpected and a little early.
Very early.
And so I'm like, hurry up and get here, guy. And I see him like walking... not as fast as I'd like through the parking garage. Come on, get over here. And he pretty much got there just in time to put his little catcher's, you know, like suit on and just to like deliver. Isabel just slid right on out.
Yeah, she did. She was very fast. Thank God it was a quick push. I don't think I pushed very much.
No, and we should have seen this coming because she brings us tremendous joy, but also tremendous pain daily.
Daily. Although she's late for everything.
That's true. Yeah. Interesting.
This is the only time she was early. So yeah, that's my story. It's my anti-bucket list.
I like it.
I think you are pretty happy to oblige my never wanting to go through childbirth again.
Yeah, not because it hurts or anything. I just don't want another baby ever again. The two we have are enough of a nightmare for me. I can't imagine a third. Awful. That's like my worst nightmare. You know that?
No, that's terrible.
Especially right now in this weird world we're living in. Awful.
All right.
Have you seen anything floating around in the news? Should we tell everybody what we're doing here?
I guess.
We're going to abandon in the story, what's your face, what's your news segment as an official segment with the music and everything. And just kind of talk about what we've seen quickly and then move on to the more important things that everyone, I think, tunes in for.
Right.
Right.
This is not a newscast.
You're right. So do you have anything to share that you, your story you were going to share, something that caught your eye?
No.
Okay. I had one that was just...
It was nice not having to find a new story today.
Okay. I had one that I did see that was funny to us because we from Southern California.
Right.
In and Out's like a big deal. Ugh, until you've tried something better like Tasty Burger or
yeah.
Shake Shack or Five Guys and all those other things. But like I've said before, I don't like to put labels on it. In and Out's good. I don't like to go down the road of what's the best. But they're specific to Southern California. There's some in Arizona now. I think there's one in Oregon.
Didn't you say that one opened?
There's one in Utah. There's one in Dallas. But okay. One opened in Colorado Springs. It's the first one in that region or area.
Wow.
These fucking morons in Colorado waited for 14 hours to get Why? In and out. I don't know.
It's not. If you made me wait for 14 hours for that burger, I'd kill you.
So here's the thing. I think Shake Shack and all these other things I said are tremendously better. I wouldn't wait 1 hour right. for those.
Right.
Not even 1 hour.
Well, I'd probably wait an hour. I wouldn't. Think that's good, but...
It's fast food. What are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, if it was like we had to wait for our order or something, I'd probably wait.
I remember when Five Guys first opened in Rancho Cucamonga and we waited. The line was like around the building and we waited to try it. But after that, I think I told myself, I'm not going to wait for fast food for something like that ever. Like, nothing's that good. 14 hours.
That's like your insane.
Half your day, more than half your day.
More than half. Well, yeah, more than half your day.
To wait literally. For a burger that I understand is a phenomenon, whatever, but it's not get, that why spectacular. Though, why? It's not that great.
I don't understand.
It's good. I grew up on In-N-Out. I'm not shaming In-N-Out. My SoCal friends are going to say, oh, you sold out to the East Coast. No, no, that's not it. I think it's great. I will always have one when I go visit. But it ain't 14 hours great. Few things are 14 hours great. I'm just saying.
I've never been. It's okay. If we go get it, we go get it. But I'm never like, I have to have this. And I remember when I went away to college and all my friends would come home, they would always post pictures of like, my mom had In-N-Out at the airport for me. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't understand.
My uncle.
I'm okay not having it for years. I'm fine.
Yeah. My uncle, who grew up in Southern California and then moved to Virginia, D.C. area for most of his life and then eventually retired in Arizona, he used to bring it home on the airplane, like multiple burgers, and then put them in his fridge and reheat them. I mean, it was like a thing. And for me,
that's gross.
For me, it's not even about In-N-Out. What I miss the most is like legit Mexican food. I would do that with tacos and tortillas. I have done it with tortillas from San Diego.
Right.
But I mean, like, I there's just so many other good burger joints out there. I just don't get it.
I feel like the patty reminds me of McDonald's. It's a super tiny, really thin patty.
Yeah, that's not fair. We've had an argument about this before. I will not go down this highway.
Sorry. They don't cook it the same, but it's the same size. Come on.
It does have the exact same girth. You're right. But it is. Yeah. It's fresh. It has a much better flavor.
I didn't say it tastes better. I just said it reminds me of that. It's exactly the same size.
I gotcha.
It's super thin, super tiny. Every time I bite into it, it's really pink in the middle, which drives me insane. And then I always get a tummy ache after.
It's pretty heavy.
Their french fries are gross.
Yeah, like 14. Can you imagine the disappointment if you've never been to it and you wait 14 hours?
And it's this little teeny thing.
And you get your, like, their fries are notoriously kind of soggy unless you order them well done.
Right.
And you get that. If I were a newcomer to In-N-Out, I'd be like, oh my God, what did I just do?
Yeah. What did you wait 14 hours for? It's just not that. I don't know. They pile all the lettuce on it to make it look thicker and fatter. And that makes it cold and watery.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
I'm not a fan. Sorry for my SoCal friends. I've never been a fan, not just because when I moved out here, now I'm not.
Yeah, you're not pretending.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not either. I'm just like, I've had better. So once you've had better, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd pick McDonald's over In-N-Out. Sorry.
Yeah, that's banana land, 100%. I would never, ever do that in this lifetime or the next.
I would. Sorry.
No way. All right. Well, speaking of beef.
Beef.
I've got a beef that I'd like to air.
Oh, a grievance,
if you will. Since today is Thanksgiving. Guys, what's with Friendsgiving? We covered this at Halloween with Uprooted-a-ween and Sail-a-ween and the Extravaganza-ween. You can't just add giving to the end of it and make it your thing. Why can't you just say Thanksgiving with friends? Because saying Friendsgiving is implying that regular Thanksgiving is like family giving.
Well, yeah, like, so that's my issue with it. Like, isn't it just Thanksgiving?
People do this like all the time. I don't understand.
Why don't you just, it's still Thanksgiving, right?
I say I'm having Thanksgiving with my friends because you're still celebrating Thanksgiving. Friendsgiving is not a holiday that exists anywhere on this planet.
This is true.
I don't know. Maybe I know I'm being super extra about this, but it really bothers me. I don't like it.
I know you don't. At all. You've made it very clear.
It's just like a ween. It's just like anything scandalous is something gate. I don't like it.
Right.
Can we please move on? Just like we shall on the show.
Can we call a turkey a turkey?
Yes, exactly. Are you calling me a turkey?
No.
I think you are.
I'm not.
So speaking of Thanksgiving, should we say what we're thankful for or do we want to talk about Thanksgiving food first?
Oh, gosh. Let's go with the thankfulness. Let's keep on the thankful track.
Okay, well, do tell. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for that dog over there.
This one?
Yes.
Why?
Because she is so cute, and she's loving, and she knows when mommy needs her. And did you know it's an actual scientific fact that when you pet fur, so it could be a cat, it could be a hamster, bunny, whatever, it actually releases chemicals that calm your body down. And they found that people that own dogs and cats for like a lifetime have a longer lifespan. Isn't that amazing?
Does that same chemical get released when you pet my fur? Because I am quite furry underneath all these clothes.
No.
When you rub my furry chest, do endorphins release?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So much.
Not the same as when you pet the dog, I hope, though.
No.
Yeah, I'm thankful for this dog, too. I'm not stealing yours. I'm just kind of piggybacking on what you said. Has she not brought so much joy to the family?
She has. She's completed our family. Absolutely.
For any guys out there, especially, that are hesitant about getting a dog in the family because it costs money or it's a lot of work, just do it. It brings so much joy to your kids and to your wife and all these things. They're great to have around.
They are. And for somebody like me who has, like, anxiety issues and sometimes I feel lonely, she's like my little buddy. She's my little shadow.
Yeah, for the brief time I had my job and was working at night, she brought you great comfort and joy.
She did.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for Lucille, the fluffy corgi.
It's funny, on my other podcast today, I interviewed this guy and we were talking about how working at home and all that stuff is a new thing. And he says, can you imagine how the dogs feel? They used to have all this alone time and now they're like, what the fuck? Why are you guys home all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just go away so I can sleep and...
Yeah, you know, her sleeping time has been greatly diminished since we've all been home.
I put her in her bed today while I did that interview, and she was just like out. When I went to go wake her up, she was like, what are you doing, old man? I want to stay in here.
Yeah, I don't know how she's going to be when we leave. She might be kind of sad.
Yeah, a little anxiety, like when she was a puppy, like, might kick in. Yeah. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be probably not expected, but I am thankful for... the past 8 months, honestly, despite tragedy. And, you know, of course, if I have come down with COVID or lost someone to it, I'd probably feel differently. And I did lose things. We've all lost things. We've lost our job and all these privileges or whatever. But how often do you get to spend 8 months pretty much uninterrupted with your family?
That's true. It was kind of a little bit of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. And the last month or so since you've been back to work, it totally sucks because that's kind of been separated. That first part where we were locked in and truly felt like we couldn't go anywhere or do anything and we were just in our house, and maybe even the little scary thought that we'd be actually physically stuck in our house for a while was kind of exciting to me. Let's figure out how to survive and do this and get through this together. And spending all that time doing the house projects, it's been really great and something I've never been able to do because of jobs and whatever, and will probably, hopefully, never be able to do again. You know, if it comes at the cost of tragedy, if it comes at me winning the lotto or something, then fine, you know, but
that would be lovely.
But it's just been really great. I'm super thankful for the time. I'm going to be sad the day I go back to work and everything kind of goes back to normal in that sense. And I hope everyone else can kind of look at it that way.
Yeah, it's hard. I will admit I'm kind of faltering in my positivity lately, but I see you. I see what you're saying.
It's been a roller coaster for sure. There's been some very, very low points for me as well and everybody else out there. But I don't know. If you try to look at that silver lining, that you'll never get that time back with anybody, even if you don't have kids or us, but even with your dog or your sister that you live with or whatever. It's something very special, I think, that, you know, I don't know. I'm thankful for it.
Yeah.
Do you have another one?
Oh, gosh. I have a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things to be thankful for when you think about it.
Are you thankful for those rose gold headphones?
No.
No.
That I am not thankful for.
Headphone gate.
I hate
that. 2020.
You know, I'm thankful to still have a grandparent that's living.
That's a good one.
I'm really thankful for that because my kids get to know my grandma, get to be close with her. They got to know my grandpa who passed away.
Yeah.
Just a few months ago. And I'm thankful they got that chance to meet him and to meet her and to have her in their life. I think that's really special. Not a lot of kids can say their great-grandparents are still living. So.
Yeah. I mean, most people can't say
I couldn't. I never had
a lot of people can't say their grandparents are living. I mean, yours are going into deep into old age.
Right.
Yeah. And that doesn't happen, especially nowadays, very often. So that's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's really special that she gets to be here and the kids just sent her some pictures in the mail she's going to love.
Yeah.
So I think it's really special that she's still here and we get this last little bit of time with her until she joins my grandpa. It's going to be really exciting, I think.
I like
it. It's nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful for you. I know that's like the cop-out answer, but seriously, I don't know where my life would be if it weren't for you.
I think we both feel the same way.
Yeah, I think.
But I mean, I don't know what life would be like without me. So,
That's good. Well played.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, all the lovey-dovey stuff, sure, but there's stuff we don't really talk about much. But in my previous marriage, I dropped out of school and everything. And because you were younger in school, something that simple, I just wanted to be better for you. You like pushed me to do that. So I went and finished school, which has led to better careers and jobs and all those things. So, I mean, without you in my life, seriously, I don't know what I'd be doing. Probably still drag racing and struggling through life like a lot of people I know.
I don't know. I think you would have found someone else and figured it out.
That's true. In my field, you kind of really don't need the education per se, so you can still be successful. I have a lot of friends that have just moved up through experience or whatever. But I think for me to be at the level where I'm at now and be able to move out here, all those opportunities that have come with it, I couldn't have done without my college degree. And you really pushed me subliminally to do it. So I'm really thankful for you for that and many, many other things that we won't talk about.
Well, thank you.
We don't want to get too graphic.
Thank you.
Well, is that good? Is two enough?
Sure, but I was going to kind of piggyback on that and
please
say
do.
I'm thankful for you.
Oh, you're just copying me now.
I am.
You're just
I'm
cheating.
Copying you. I'm cheating.
If you really meant it, you would have said
I'm
it.
I'm stealing
but
your exam
paper. But you took the dog
paper.
Instead.
I did because she's right there.
I know where your loyalties lie. It's cool. I bought the dog, so.
That's true. You did. But anyway. I am thankful for you because you gave me my amazing children that I love to death and you put up with my neuroses and my weird things and you talk me off the ledge when I need you to talk me off the ledge and you tell me all the things that could be wrong with me.
If it
like
makes you feel better.
My hand tumors that apparently I might have.
If it makes you feel better. Sometimes I feel like pushing you off the ledge.
I know.
But it's safer to talk you off, I think.
Right. So I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you. Well, keeping with the Thanksgiving theme, we figured we'd go into, you know, our favorite side dishes. Everybody knows you have turkey. Or I guess some people don't have turkey, right? What do they celebrate Thanksgiving around the world?
Thanksgiving around the world.
That's a good story for another time.
It's a great... No, actually, I think this is the perfect time for
so
the
we're
Thanksgiving
at a buffet
around the world story.
In Las Vegas because we used to spend Thanksgiving
in
drag
Las
racing
Vegas.
In Las Vegas, which was actually a lot of fun looking back on it. I really miss that race and those people. It was good times. We would fry a turkey up at the track, whatever, freeze our ass off racing.
I miss when I thought
days.
I was cold.
Yeah, I think it was like 40 degrees and we were out there shivering and lighting fires and like dying.
Yeah.
It was windy, so it makes it feel a little colder, but it's nothing like we have here.
No.
Anyway, we decided to go to a buffet and you know, buffets usually have dishes from around the world for you to sample. And I said, I made a comment and I said, oh, this is like Thanksgiving around the world. And you immediately pounced on that because I rarely, very rarely, that was one of the very few times I say something stupid.
Right.
And I immediately tried to explain, which is the truth.
False.
What I meant by that, which was.
You mean you tried to backpedal?
No backpedaling
yes,
going on. Very
absolutely.
Simply, I meant that a lot of Americans who are Filipino, Russian, whatever. They have their own traditions, like Italians. I don't think they eat turkey. I think they eat all the Italian stuff.
Why would they not eat turkey?
I don't know, but I just
saw
something about that the other day.
The point of eating turkey is because we're celebrating the unity of the pilgrims and the...
No, we eat turkey because the pilgrims, that's all they had back then.
Right, but
they
what
didn't
I'm
have
saying
calzones.
Is... Exactly, so, but what I'm saying is that's why we eat it. So then, therefore... Everybody would eat it.
That's fine. I get the symbolism.
It's like Cinco de Mayo. They don't have Chinese food. It's Cinco de Mayo.
But if you're a Chinese American on Cinco de Mayo,
you don't have Chinese
food.
You
might have mushu pork because it's like a Chinese burrito.
On St. Patrick's Day, the Chinese people have corned beef. They don't have
They have corned beef
and broccoli.
They have corned beef and broccoli.
No, they do not.
Anyway, that's what I meant is that all these people have their different traditions who maybe, you know, I've got a lot of, I have very diverse friend base. I think we should poll the audience.
I agree.
During our post this week to find out that I bet my Filipino friends at their feast have lumpia and all the other things.
Yeah, but
things.
They probably have that in addition.
I get it, but that's what I meant.
To the turkey.
That's
but
what I meant.
But not because of Thanksgiving, it's because of their normal dishes.
Well, then why didn't Joe's Buffet or whatever we were at put out just traditional American Thanksgiving
fare.
Because
Joe's Buffet wasn't celebrating traditional
American
fare. They
had all the things. They had the blue, they had the yellow, they had all the buffet things, which included egg rolls, Chinese food, the carving station, all the
yes,
stuff. It wasn't just Thanksgiving.
It's a buffet from around the world, not a Thanksgiving buffet.
I kind of disagree because I believe the
you
sign said Thanksgiving Day buffet.
You are fake news.
Okay. Whatever. You're an asshole.
I mean, hey, I'm not going to disagree. totally agree with you on that one.
Anyway, what's your favorite side dishes?
Oh, and God. And side or dessert? Dishes? Really?
Pick one dessert and one side dish.
Oh, fudge. Okay. Not fudge. I hate fudge. Side dishes. Well, it has to be your stuffing, probably.
Just mine or any stuffing?
No, like no. If just you were to go to regular stuffing is gross.
If you were to go to Friendsgiving and I wasn't there.
So let me tell you a story.
What would it be?
Here's my story. Oh God, how old was I? I don't remember. But my dad took us to a restaurant of some sort just a few days after Thanksgiving. And one of the things they were selling was a Thanksgiving sandwich. Thanksgiving in a sandwich or something like that.
Oh yeah, those
and
are
I
good.
And I love my cranberry on my turkey. Love all that stuff. So I'm like, oh, this sounds really good. So my dad got us a bunch of them. And I go to bite down into it. And in the bottom of the sandwich is that disgusting stuffing.
Yeah, the mushy box kind.
And I seriously wanted to throw up.
Yeah, that's gross.
It is the most disgusting flavor and texture I've ever had in my life. It feels like you're eating vomit. And so I don't like stuffing. Yeah. I just like your dressing. Okay, isn't that what it is? So here's didn't we decide it was dressing?
I do have a comment about cranberry sauce in just a minute, but here is the thing with stuffing. Stuffing, hence the name, is when you put it in the bird, and it tends to get a little mushy or whatever. When it's out, it's dressing, I believe.
Okay, but so apparently it's not good to stuff your turkey anymore. Don't stuff it.
Nah, you still can. You just got to make sure it comes up to temperature.
Well, so there's that, but it doesn't cook the turkey evenly. It makes the turkey take longer, and it's not as moist and yummy.
Okay.
So they say you're not supposed to stuff your turkey anymore.
All I know is I grew up on that Stouffer's box shit.
Disgusting.
And it literally, sometimes if you don't do it right, it can taste like sawdust.
Yeah, it's awful.
And if you, I guess, do it right, it's mushy and it's gross. I mean, obviously, based on the size of me, I still ate the shit out of it when I was a kid. But stuffing's my favorite side as well, only because I have discovered
the
fantastic way. And I didn't invent this. It's a recipe in a magazine. That anybody could follow, or you could invent your own, but it's stuffing can be so great.
It is so good.
Why is Mrs. Cubison's or whatever her name is even in the fucking business anymore?
What is that?
They make the bread, the box stuffing, or Stouffer's, whoever the fuck.
Whoever does it.
They shouldn't even be in business. It's criminal.
It's gross. So yours is delicious. It has apples and sausage. And you put the sourdough bread on the top so it's nice and crunchy and golden.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's a lot of prep, but it's super easy. And this year we're doing it with a little twist. I baked a fresh loaf of sourdough bread today that I'm going to... From Albus Dumbledore that I'm going to ruin and let get stale so I can cut it up into cubes and put it in my stuffing.
It's going to be so good. I'm excited.
It's going to be fantastic.
How about you? Did they steal yours?
No, we can have the same. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Definitely my favorite, without a doubt, stuffing. And it always was, even when it sucked.
No. Before I met you, it was not the stuffing.
So real quick, cranberry sauce. Huge debates every year. And I just saw a thing today about...
You don't want to debate this with me, though.
About New England, because New England is like the cranberry central. And surprisingly, a shit ton of people like the canned stuff.
I like the canned stuff, too. But not better. Oh my God. I like them both.
What's wrong with you?
I'm happy with both. You know, I like the canned stuff because it reminds me of my grandma. She would literally like whoosh, out of the can and slice it.
And it just sits there and has that jiggle
and
for
it just,
a while.
She just puts it on a plate with the slices and you just like take the slice of the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, it makes that sound
and I
like,
love it. Yep.
And then it just jiggles a little bit.
Yep. And I love it. It reminds me of her and it still tastes great. So I'm fine with it. But I make my own.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So.
And well, somebody posted on this thing a comment that said, oh, the circular one's great. You slice it and put it right on your sandwich. Now that sounds tremendous.
Yes.
That I can get behind. You see? But just eating it on your plate seems a little weird to me. But especially since I've had yours, it's amazing.
Right. So cranberry sauce, I think, is before I met you and your stuffing.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite.
Okay. So my favorite Thanksgiving dessert, and pretty much stands for all dessert, pie, pumpkin pie, pretty much any pie but apple. I don't hate apple, but apple's not my favorite pie. I like my pies cold. I like them with whipped cream or ice cream. That's just how I am. I would take a birthday pie over a birthday cake any day of the week. Pie is my second favorite dessert next to ice cream. So yeah, pumpkin pie all the way.
Apple.
I just don't see apple pie as being a Thanksgiving dessert. I see it as being like a 4th of July dessert, which is weird because it's really weird.
Who
because
wants a hot pie on the 4th of July?
Well, I take my pie cold like a man.
But you're supposed to have a hot slice with ice cream on top. That's
maybe
the point
that's
of
why,
it.
I don't know. And maybe it's all the songs about bye-bye, Miss Apple Pie?
No, Miss American Pie, not well, Apple still, Pie.
And then American Pie had
maybe
an apple pie.
Maybe that's why. Maybe because you always thought it was apple pie instead of American Pie.
I don't know. It's just because it's super American and whatever.
It is a thing,
but
as American as
it
apple
does make
pie.
Sense because apple season is the fall. So right. I get it. All right.
Not July.
All right.
Right. So yeah, apple pie is my favorite. And the Dutch apple pie, not the one with the crumbles on the top. Not the one with the like lattice or the regular crust.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have the crumbles.
Yeah, it's like a cross between a cobbler and a pie.
With a nice scoop of cold vanilla ice cream on top. Oh, man. It's like even better. It melts into the pie.
It's even better on a cold pie.
The best.
All right, well, that was fun. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. Now I'm starving.
All right, parenting purgatory, yes?
Yeah,
okay.
Parenting.
So kind of keeping with the Thanksgiving theme. The holidays are a challenging time, right, for food choices for your kids.
Oh my gosh, especially with Jacob.
Didn't you see a funny meme or something that you showed me that said I worked all day preparing this meal and my kid ate a roll?
Yeah, or so that my child could eat a roll.
So we wanted to talk about just the importance of, throughout the year and throughout their lives, introducing them to new foods, which can be touch and go sometimes.
Yes, especially with our son who likes to throw up.
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird texture,
literally
gag reflux thing, but with all kids, neurologically typical or not, it's important to expose them to these things throughout the year. If they want to try the seafood on your plate and it's safe to do so, let them try it. Let them be like, oh, that's gross, or oh, I like that.
Right.
Because they need to, their taste buds need to evolve. They can't just eat yummy food all the time, right?
Exactly.
And there's nothing shittier than when you worked all day on a meal, or especially if you go to someone's house, like a family member when we used to be allowed to, and someone worked all day on all this food and you give them the turkey and the ham and whatever, and they don't touch it. Or in our kids' case, they throw it up, you know, which has happened before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just wanted to share that. That's important, right?
It is. And actually, I don't remember where I read it. I like to spout off statistics and things where I
without sources
have no idea what the source was for it, but I know that I read it at some point. But 10 tastes of something will get your child used to that taste.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is why I insist that even if they don't want to eat all the broccoli, they have to at least take a bite of it.
Yes.
Because after 10 times of eating it, their taste buds get used to that flavor. And it's not as overpowering to them. So obviously there's still going to be foods that are just not something they enjoy.
I think it's more the idea of the food that they don't like. That's why you and I are very simpatico with this, where it's like, just try it. How can you say you don't like something you've never even had in your mouth one time?
And right.
I get some of it, like the thought of fish or sushi or something sounds gross. But like, if you've never tried it, is that a fair assessment to say I don't like that?
I'm going to go with the fish situation on this one.
But you've tried it.
I've tried it, right. And I didn't like it. But before I tried it, it was the smell that was super off-putting to me. And so I think even without eating it, that's something that just put me off.
I'm okay with that. I accept that answer. Because
I know there's people out there.
Use all your senses to eat. So I'm with that.
Right. So I know there's people out there that won't try sushi because it's the idea of the raw fish that's freaking them out. And I think that's fine. I think they have every right to be that way. But when it comes to like, I'm not going to try this casserole because there's onions in it.
Right.
It's kind of silly.
Yeah. Or the steak because it's chewy. Or you just imagine it's chewy. You've never had it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You can get past the potential chewiness if it tastes good, I guess. I don't know. That's my theory on it. And you know, for me as a parent, I kind of take the tougher stance. Like you had always worried about, and we kind of have a discussion about, you'd say things like, well, they have to eat something. And I'm like, no, they don't. We're all animals at the end of the day.
I've come around on that.
They'll eat when they're hungry, whether it's the broccoli or not. So it's like, parents out there, stop catering to your kids. Don't make them the chicken nuggets when you're having grilled chicken or whatever. Give them the food you're eating when they get to the appropriate age, obviously. And don't force it upon them, but say, this is what you're getting. I'm not making anything else. And don't worry about them wasting away. They'll eat when they're hungry.
Right. We've gotten to that point. There are certain things that I know maybe ours is a little spicy, so I will give them something slightly different.
Yes, I get that. Yeah.
I'll make the chicken without the spices on it or whatever it is. So I do that. I know Isabel's not a huge fan of steak, so I'll give her chicken instead. But I've come around, I've gotten a lot better. Like, okay, this is what we're having and that's what you're going to eat. If they don't eat it, they don't eat it. And that's fine. And they know that if they don't eat it, they don't get dessert. So
this past Monday, I had a breakthrough with Isabel. She didn't want what I was making for lunch. And so we have these protein shake things. And I said, I can make you this. I can make you that. She's like, nah, I don't want any of that. And I said, okay. So I stuck to my parenting guns. And I was like, okay, well, I guess you're skipping lunch. And she goes, I'll just have this shake. Okay, cool. Have at it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is probably healthier than anything I was going to make. It's less food, all those things. So, you know.
Right.
So the message here is stick to your guns, even at the holidays. Make them eat the holiday food. If they're old enough to do so, obviously.
Well, like with Jacob, for example, he doesn't enjoy Thanksgiving because all the foods touch, which I get. I'm not a huge fan of foods touching, but I like them on Thanksgiving to touch. Yes. They're okay on Thanksgiving. But so I just put them in very small portions on his plate in a different area, and he still gets the same food we get.
Some of them are better when they touch, like when the turkey and the potato and the cranberry all mm-hmm. mix together.
Yeah,
that's good. Is heaven in the mouth.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah, that is so good. So he's really missing out there, but oh well.
Well, that's okay. That's him. That's his thing. Yeah, I had a friend who actually would, her child did not like the texture of turkey. Sometimes it can get kind of slimy.
Yes.
It's kind of a weird texture sometimes.
Right.
So she made her son, I think it was, a turkey sandwich with the roll.
Oh, I like that.
And then deli turkey.
Yes.
And that I'm like, okay, well, at least they're having turkey.
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm okay with all that.
Be inventive. Be.
What's even better is make the kid figure that out on their own. Yeah, I mean,
hey, why not?
I'm totally okay with that.
Also, a suggestion that I read in a Family Circle magazine, actually, I remember.
Oh, you've cited your sources.
I remember
good for
my
you.
Source. Was have the children help you cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that a lot with Isabel, for example. She's more willing to try something if she's actually made it because she's really proud of herself. And she's like, oh, I made this. I want to eat it.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Have the kids help you cook it. Not only are they learning, they're spending time with mom and dad, but they also have a little bit more pride in the dish. And so they probably will be a little bit more inclined to try it.
Plus, if they don't like it, you can pass it off on them and say, well, you made it.
You made it.
Your fault you don't like it. All right, well, that's it for Parenting Purgatory. Now I'm really hungry. This food I mean, is there any food talk in the relationship room?
I mean, there could be.
Does Thanksgiving carry over into the bedroom? Now that's a good topic.
That's a great topic.
I mean, I'd eat some pumpkin pie off of you.
That's a little whipped cream. Sure, yeah, why not?
Let's
I like
do
it.
That.
I won't eat it, but...
Well, you'll eat the whipped cream. Let's do this.
Okay.
This is happening.
Bye, everybody.
See ya. Happy Thanksgiving.
But I actually had something to say in the relationship room, because the relationship room doesn't always have to be just, you know, husband and wife relationship or couple relationship.
Yeah.
It also has to do with relationships with families, right? I mean, I think, I don't know, I could be speaking out of turn.
I mean, I would drop the room part of it at that point because I don't really take my family into my room.
Right.
So we could just call it relationship extravaganza. I don't know.
Sure. Well, anyway, so I was thinking about Thanksgiving and I was thinking about, I don't know, mental health, especially at this time. This is bound to be a really stressful Thanksgiving.
This is the worst time for mental health. I'll just say it starts like now and continues through at least Christmas. Everybody has a little hope for the new year, but the stress around buying presents and having to travel and family, all that stuff you're going to talk about, it's the worst. And if you live outside of the West Coast, it's cold and dreary and ugly and it's like, ugh, it's just awful.
Right. So I was thinking about Thanksgiving and people that might have to travel and be with their families for Thanksgiving. And I was trying to think of some survival tips, some advice that we could give these people, whether it's couples or not, whether you're doing it on Zoom or you're going to be in the actual room with these people. I had some tips for you, some survival tips, Thanksgiving survival tips.
I like it.
And I just want to be clear, this is a list for people, not turkeys.
Yeah, no survival for turkeys.
No survival for the turkey. The turkey is dead.
You did.
It is done. All right. So my first on the list of survival for Thanksgiving is the first thing you need to do is find out the Wi-Fi password to wherever you're going. Because that way, at least you can retreat to Facebook and commiserate with others that are doing exactly the same thing that you're doing.
How many times have we done that?
So many times.
At functions for my family.
Yes.
And yours, I guess. Sometimes it gets a little boring.
It gets a little boring when my dad falls asleep. And
the difference with your family, though, is it gets boring. It tends to get exciting in the wrong ways with my family.
Right.
So you kind of want to just be like, okay, I'm going to go over here and go look mind at my own business.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the bathroom for 45 minutes. What's the old Twitter up to?
Yeah.
The second one is deflect. Okay, so hear me out. You know there's probably going to be several well-meaning questions from your relatives. Like, oh, when are you going to have a baby? When are you getting married, right? Yeah. You've got to give yourself some answers beforehand. So have those answers ready to go. So for example, oh, you feel that way about the election, do you? Hey, that's a really nice watch.
Yeah, I like
deflect,
that.
Deflect.
That's a great tactic for many things, even outside of this. You mentioned the election. This particular Thanksgiving is going to be really awful for some people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, number three. This is a really good tip. This is something that I read and I'm like, oh, that's genius. Offer to be the family event photographer.
Oh.
And you're going to give yourself a few advantages. So let's talk about these advantages really quickly.
I already know one. You don't have to be in the picture.
You're not in the picture. That's not even on my list. Brilliant. Oh, really? Not even on my list.
Okay.
First, your relatives can't talk about you if they're posing in a photograph.
Right. Okay. You can't photograph the whole event.
Well, second, it gives you an excuse to leave a conversation at any time because, hey, look, little Sally is doing her completely inappropriate Lady Gaga impression again, and someone needs to get it.
You know, what's her name? Susan. At all the family, she was onto something.
Oh, she was on it.
Yeah, she was.
And then third, if you find that you really need a break, you can find a quiet corner to bust out your camera bag and pretend to clean your lenses.
Yeah, oh, I'll be right there. I'm just doing something with the...
this together.
Just fixing the f-stop on the aperture. Blah, blah. No one's going to understand you unless there happens to be the other photographer visitor.
The photographer.
No one will know. And you'll be like, oh, I'll be right there. Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
Brilliant, right?
Love this. Yes.
I loved it. Okay, number four, dress for success.
Okay, I'm not sure what you mean.
Go for something loose around the waist.
Oh, like some sweatpants.
Right.
Yeah.
Because pie, right? Gotta have room for pie.
Holy shit, light bulb.
Light bulb.
A business idea. Just like my school days with a Z idea I had where you sell all the things for the theme days at school that you can never seem to find, like Spirit Week and whatever.
Right.
We can also make holidays where you sell specialty items like the Thanksgiving pant.
That look nice, even though...
Yeah, it's fucking business on the bottom, but party on the top, baby.
There's this brilliant movement going on in the female clothing world.
Jeggings?
Not jeggings, but I mean, I guess those kind of are part of it. Dress pants that like have pull on. There's no buttons. There's no zippers.
Yeah.
It is gold, my friend.
You know what I
always
wanted?
Thought of that was
when
a
I worked at Disneyland sweating my absolute balls off in the heat wearing slacks. I always wanted like some moisture wicking, nice looking pants that they just don't make. There's so many great inventions out there. Come on, clothing designers, get on this shit.
All right. So anyway,
holidays and school days, those are mine though.
Find your pull on pants, whatever. Only men of a certain age, so only old guys can get away with buttons popping out the top or unbuttoning their pants. So you got to wear the flowy dress, wear the elastic waistband.
That move where you lean the chair back and put your hand in.
Yeah. Yep. That one.
That's only like a total Al Bundy old guy move.
All right.
Sure.
Number five. And this is good in everyday life as well.
Yeah.
Use a mantra to help you stay calm and to calm your nerves in a high stress situation. You can try things like nothing lasts forever or once a year.
Yes.
Just keep saying it over and over again to calm yourself
down.
That
is good stuff. I like that.
Good, right? So this is the mother of all tips. This is the last and final most important tip of all.
Okay.
Wine.
Like with an H?
Just lots of wine. Like so much wine. Red, white.
Oh, the drink.
Bottle in each hand.
Yes. Get fucking smashed.
Lots of wine. And that will get you through, I think. I think those six items will get you through any situation.
But don't do all of those in conjunction with each other. Like if you're the drunk photographer, that would be bad.
Oh, hey, why not? And then you might have something on Aunt Sally.
That's true.
I shouldn't say that because I actually have an Aunt Sally. Aunt Gertrude.
I think everybody has an Aunt Sally.
Maybe.
Those are great. I love that.
Good ones, right?
And like you said, a lot of them transcend the holidays and are great for everyday life. Especially if you have a close family that's always... doing like Sunday family dinner or whatever, those can all turn into shit shows. I don't care how strong your family is.
In a regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did.
They really did.
Hmm. So speaking of all that family stuff, every family has a Just So You Know guy or gal, which we mentioned last episode.
Right, but you also reminded me when you said, like, the Karen from across the street will call and be like, they're in my parking spot.
Yes.
That reminds me of the Just So You Know person, because it would be my mom. My mom would go knock on the door. She'd go, Just So You Know, the police are going to come and ticket you if you stay here.
So super passive aggressive.
It actually reminded me, like, I don't want you to get a ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it actually reminded me of that.
Yes.
As well.
We highlighted this last week with, I had a story about a Just So You Know guy.
Yeah.
And it dawned on us that it's happening daily, especially on social media nowadays. So we wanted to kind of introduce, recurring segment, not every week, but some Just So You Know guy. And I guess, or gal, Just So You Know they.
Just So You Know them, it.
Non-binary.
Non-binary,
X,
he, she, him, all they, the things. Her.
We're allies, everyone.
We are.
We're not being smart.
We are not. No, we just want to include everyone, because everyone is inclusively the Just So You Know guy, gal,
person,
them,
X,
person,
thing, non-binary. Yes.
Yes.
Who's your Just So You Know them?
Oh my lord. So this isn't a group that I belong to. I won't tell you what it's about because you will laugh me off the air. But anyway, this woman posted these pictures of this most adorable little kitten. She's so very sweet. And it says, I found this perfect kitten yesterday morning and she needs a home. She said, unfortunately, Violet, which is her cat, is not a fan and wants to keep her only child status. She's a little purr machine and loves to cuddle.
Who knew you were in a cat lady group?
It's not a cat lady group.
It sounds like it.
But anyway, she's missing part of her back feet, but that doesn't stop her. It's adorable. So anyway, so she posted this seeing if anybody was interested. She offered to drive the cat like a agreed upon distance if somebody's willing to take her, because she just wants her to go to a good home.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we get the Just So You Know gal.
They.
It's Elsie in this case. I'm not going to give her last name, but her name's Elsie. And she's got like her profile picture is like a kind of face. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, perfect.
She says, in most areas, it is illegal to find an animal and rehome it. In parentheses, as you are not the legal owner. It would be like finding a laptop and selling it. In parentheses, yes, animals are considered property.
Oh boy. Did she actually say Just So You Know?
No, she didn't.
Oh, okay.
So I would check with your local shelter. Someone may be looking for their kitten. I am sure you wouldn't want to give away someone else's pet.
Oh man.
So everyone else is like, oh my goodness, she's so sweet. I wish I didn't live so far away.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't have a dog. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I hope you find a home.
Yeah.
This woman is Just So You Know.
Just So You Know, I'm a hero.
Yeah.
And I'm going to educate you on everything you
keyboard
don't know.
Keyboard hero.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I forgot to tell you, I didn't screenshot that part, but she goes on to tell how if she didn't own a shelter, she wouldn't know. So she just wanted to make sure she knew about the legal, ramifications of giving away someone else's animal.
Thanks, Elsie.
Yeah, thanks, Elsie. You're a hero.
Mine's not so much of a Just So You Know, but more along the lines of I'm going to take this opportunity on social media to educate all you fucking idiots out there.
You mean edumacation?
And show you how smart I am. Okay. So in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, which is like our High Sierra Nevada range, like,
are they really white?
California. I don't know. I mean, nowadays I think you have to call them non-racial, non-binary mountains just to be safe. You don't want to call anything white or black just to be safe. So they're just called mountains.
The mountains.
The mountains. Anyway, there's a rail there that is called the Hobo and Winnipesaukee Scenic Railroad.
Hobo? Are they allowed to say hobo anymore?
I think so, because I don't know. Might be referring to Mr. Hobo, like someone's name.
Or maybe it's like Hoco. Maybe it's like shortened for something.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
They're having this Christmas train ride with Mr. and Mrs. Claus. But of course,
fun.
Thanks to COVID. Yeah, totally fun, right? This whole post has fun written all over it. But thanks to COVID, there's some regulations. You got to wear a face mask. It's required at all times. They go on to say that it has to be a certain kind of face mask. Well, sure enough, the first comment was from someone by the name of Boyle Cat.
Ew, like like boiling, like B-O-I-L, boil?
No, B-O-Y-L-E.
Oh, so maybe her name's like Catherine Boyle.
You know, you mentioned about the profile picture of Miss Elsie. Well, you can really glean a lot from someone's profile picture. You know, everyone goes out and makes their profile private and all that stuff, but then they put these jackass pictures that really paint a picture, profile picture. This one is a silhouette of a man, Scalamouche. No, it's a... silhouette of a person wearing a mask with the red circle with the line through it.
Oh, now so, I'm seeing it.
Can you do this? So is everyone else. So clearly this person is your typical anti-masker, right? I mean, why would you put that profile picture? And again, he or she, they is the first comment that says, very sad that you are discriminating against people with medical exemptions.
Yes, that was their original thought, I'm sure.
So the heroes, these are true heroes, that proceed to attack Boyle Cat.
Boyle Cat.
In the comments are saying, how did you come to that conclusion? Because on the website, it doesn't say anything about mask exemptions or whatever, just as you have to wear one at all times. I'm sure there's an exception if someone comes up and says, my autistic two-year-old or whatever can't wear a mask, or I have a lung condition.
Didn't have to anyway.
Whatever, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
I'm sure that this very nice railroad is going to make an exception.
The hobo railroad.
But they're also not going to put all of the exceptions on their
right
thing. Nobody does that.
No.
You know, so, I mean, this person immediately jumps to the conclusion that they're discriminating. So someone comes in and says, hey, Boyle, does it say that on their website they won't allow someone claiming medical exemption? Because I don't see that.
Right.
And Boyle decides to take it to the next level and proceed to cite the actual governor's mask mandate code RSA 354-A:16, equal access to public accommodations in a civil blah, 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 whatever the fuck. Just so you know, I'm smarter than you. I know all the laws around not wearing a mask because I'm an anti-masker fucking asshole with my
and I'm gonna picture. Tell my doctor I need a medical exemption.
Right. It's like if you're with handicapped.
Her, I'm sure she ordered an Amazon.
Exactly.
I can't even think of the word right now. Thank you. Thanksgiving margarita.
Yeah.
The support animal vest from Amazon.
Yes, right. And is to like, put on I her need my chinchilla.
Support animal.
Yeah.
I need my support turtle.
So it's like I said, with the profile picture being very telling, if you actually had a reason for the medical exemption, you wouldn't have that fucking silhouette of a man as your profile picture. But she kind of ruined it there.
Right.
So thanks, Boyle Cat.
Boyle Cat. Thank you.
Just so you know.
Just so you know.
Okay, real review.
I feel like it's that ad, though, with the star and the rainbow. The more you know.
Yeah, it's like a PSA, but it's the PSA so nobody wants. It's the PSA nobody wants to hear.
No. All right, so we're doing real review.
Spencer Confidential with the Mackie Mac. What'd you think?
It was okay.
Should we recap it at all or what?
I feel like it dragged out a bit.
Yes, it did drag out, and the review said like this had potential to be like a buddy cop movie, but it didn't land.
Why would it have ever been a buddy cop movie?
Well, because him and that guy, Hawkeye or whatever his name was, they kind of pair up and solve the crime or whatever.
Okay.
Well, he was. I mean, yeah, he was a former cop. So the story is that he was a cop. Another guy on the force who happened to be higher ranking than him was a dirty cop involved in dirty things. And he went over to question him about it and saw that the guy's wife was bleeding. And so he got upset that he might have been beating her and he punched him out, ended up in prison.
Right.
Smash cut to him about to get out of prison and Post Malone is shoving a shiv into him and says, there's a message for you, a going away message or something. And all the guys in the prison jump him and there's a fight and they're like, get the fuck out of Boston. You shouldn't be in Boston ever again, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, very long story short. It ends up being that the cops are involved in this kind of crime syndicate. And the message was, get out of Boston because we don't want you foiling our plans to be involved in drugs and whatever. But he doesn't do that. He stays and meets this other guy at the halfway house who was also out of prison, who happens to be this giant, very strong black man who can fight and just push people through walls and things. And they end up solving the crime in the end.
They do.
And they set it up for Spencer Confidential, more confidential.
Dose.
Spencer too. And so, yeah, I don't know. It was fun. I mean,
it was entertaining. I was definitely entertained.
Yeah. Eliza Schlesinger is a comedian and she played
the girl,
the love interest.
Oh, I did not like her.
And her Boston accent was horrendous.
I was not a horrendous fan of her. She really bothered me, to be honest with you. She kind of is what brought my opinion of this down.
Yes.
At the end of the movie, when she was kind of acting normal to help him out.
Yeah.
That, like, I was great with that.
Yeah. Can we have that the whole movie? You know?
Yeah. She was just a little over the top.
Way over the top. And if you've seen The Perfect Storm, her accent was as bad and sounded very similar to Diane Lane.
Yeah.
In that one. Like, just, it was bad. Really bad.
It was really bad. Her attitude was really bad. It just was not good. She was not good.
And what's sad for me is the pride of Dorchester, Marky Mark, doesn't even have an accent anymore because he's been living in Hollywood. And like, here's your chance. You're doing a Boston movie.
So she tried to have the Boston accent to make it seem like they were in Boston, but he didn't have the Boston accent. And I was fine with that. Like, I wasn't like, he doesn't even have a Boston accent.
I don't know. Anyway, it was entertaining. You're right. But I'd give it, I don't even remember what the scores were. I'm not going to look, but I'm going to go 50.
50? I'd say at least a 65.
Okay.
I mean, it was entertaining. I liked Marky Mark. I liked the giant. I liked, what's his name? Henry, but I don't remember his real name. And from Little Miss Sunshine. Is it from Little Miss Sunshine?
Yes, Alan Arkin.
Yeah, I liked him. He was really good.
Yeah.
It was. I liked the casting except that girl.
It's funny you remember him from Little Miss Sunshine where he was in it like for 5 minutes.
Was he really? I thought he was in the whole time.
No, he dies like in 10 minutes into it. He does? And he got an Oscar for that. Unbelievable.
Well, because he told her, like, do your thing, girl.
I know. Anyway, I have mixed feelings.
What's
on
the best movie?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Why?
I don't know. It's
That's weird. I've never heard this.
It's okay, but it's also not good.
It's not good? What's with you? You used to say how much you loved that movie.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Get replaced by one of those body snatcher people? Because that's what I'm feeling like right now.
No, this is the clone version of me.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's okay. It's
like the aliens forgot to tell you that you liked Little Miss Sunshine before they replaced you?
I don't know. If I just look at it with a more critical eye now or whatever, it's funny, it's fun, but it's also got some things in it.
How do you feel about Juno?
I love Juno.
Okay.
Amazing.
All right. How about Napoleon Dynamite?
Love it.
Okay.
Classic. Best Norbit. Movie ever. Amazing. 100% on the tomato meter every time.
All right. I guess maybe it's you.
How you doing? Beautiful.
Great movie.
All right. So 50 and a 65.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just like that, Thanksgiving's over.
Wait.
What?
What are we watching next week?
I know.
Oh, sorry.
Easy there. Easy, girl.
Sorry.
Have some more turkey. Tone it down a notch. Just like that, Thanksgiving's over, the tree goes up, the decorations go up, and it's time for Christmas movies. What are we watching next week?
We are watching that classic that puts you in the Christmas spirit, like
Miracle on 34th Street.
A Christmas staple in every household.
It's a Wonderful Bad Mom's Christmas.
So we saw the first one. Which I thought was okay. It was good. There was a couple times it really hit home. Like when she said she wishes she could get in an accident.
Yes.
That was kind of bad, but not so bad, but that she got to be in the hospital for 2 weeks. So that she could just relax. That one, like, really, I felt that I felt heard at that one. But anyway, so we're going to watch that. We have not seen it. I can only assume it's about bad moms at Christmas. I mean.
Yeah, there's going to be all kinds of zany, I'm sure, mall Santa encounters and shopping extravaganzas that go bad and all that. Yes.
Yes. So that's what we're going with for our first Christmas movie.
I love it. I can't wait.
I didn't look. Hold on.
They can't be great. I mean, I'm sure even regular Bad Moms wasn't that great. We talked about going down the road of maybe doing classics or whatever, because I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. But we're going to try to stick with things we've never seen, which opens the door to all kinds of shit out there, like Bad Santa and...
Yeah, I'm going to have to say no on the Bad Santa. Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't fare well for Bad Mom's Christmas.
Great.
Got a 32 with the critics and a 44 with the audience, so it's not so good.
I mean, that's to be expected, I think, with my knowledge of movies. Critics are obviously going to hate this, but the audience is probably like, oh, it's not as good as the first one.
Well, so the first one received a 58 and a 63, respectively.
Right.
So,
you know, if it's the same repeated themes, but just with tinsel and Christmas trees, I could see the audience saying, oh, this sucked. It's not as good as the first. They're never too kind to sequels, audience or critics. So I get it. But yeah. I'm excited to see it. I really like the first one. It was fun.
Yeah, the first one was funny. Had a couple good laughs in it. So let's hope that's the same for this one.
All right. Well, I hope everyone had a magical Thanksgiving.
Yes. Christmas time.
Christmas time. Hey, and I'm on board with that.
Finally.
We are now in the clear. We're getting the tree tomorrow. It's going to be all good. It's Christmas. We'll throw up in the house.
Yes.
And I will be all about the Christmas.
I love Christmas house.
It's okay.
It's my favorite.
Thanksgiving needs a due. We gave it its due. We talked about turkey for an hour. We're good.
Okay.
I love it.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for just making this so awesome the last 8 months. And we're going to keep doing it, I hope, as long as y'all keep listening. And what did we learn?
We learned that In-N-Out is not worth 14 hours of standing in a line.
Few things are.
That's true. We learned that we would both be lost without me.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. We learned that the box stuffing is gross. We learned that get your kids involved in the cooking, because then maybe they'll actually eat it.
Yes.
You legally cannot give away someone else's pet, because I didn't know that actually. So thank you, Elsie, for making me aware
thank
of
you,
that
Elsie.
Situation.
Thank you, Elsie. Yes.
The mountains in New Hampshire may or may not be white.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
All right, excellent. Everyone's a little smarter this Thanksgiving.
Right.
Okay.
I feel like if that's all we can do, it's enough. We did our part.
All right, well, good show. Thanks for talking with me. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your pie. Enjoy your leftovers. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And cheers.
Cheers.